Hello and welcome to Inside View, a weekly public service show on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney. Thanks for joining us. Our guest today is State Representative Kevin Miller. It's a busy time of the year for you folks. Budget crunch is on. They got to get the budget passed by Governor DeWine before the end of June, but brought you in today to talk specifically about some legislation that you've brought forward. So let's start with one that folks will remember maybe a couple of years ago. A gentleman out in Pataskala wanted to honor a loved one who passed away with a special flag, thin blue line flag, and HOAs banning it. Maybe talk a little bit about what you've brought forward and where we're at in the process.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Dave. So what we're talking about is House Bill 75. And what that bill does is it protects the thin blue line flag. So much like the American flag, the Ohio flag, and the military flags, this bill would protect the thin blue line flag. As far as homeowners associations, condominium associations could not prevent the flying of that flag. And so in my eyes, that flag represents the men and women that protect and serve us every day in our communities, much like the military folks. And we've protected their flags, and I think it's just logical to protect this flag as well.
Some folks may be surprised that wasn't already a law, but I mean, it wasn't. And as again, documented by the story that a lot of folks and we covered here, this one hits home really close to you because as being a former state trooper.
It does. And, a little bit of the background behind this bill. So, unfortunately, several years back, police chief of Kirkersville, Chief Eric DeSario, was killed in the line of duty. And his father, Tom DeSario, was given a thin blue line flag at his son's death. And he had flown that flag in his yard for like 4 years until at one point someone made a claim to the homeowners association that that flag was making a political statement. And as a result, they made him take that flag down. And that's how I got involved with this bill. And, I've carried it several sessions here in the General Assembly. And, we've gotten it over to the Senate. And for whatever reason, it's just kind of stalled out over there. So I'm very hopeful now Senator Schaefer is picking up this legislation. He's going to run a companion bill over in the Senate so that we're hoping that in this General Assembly that we can get this across the finish line to honor those men and women. And this is important because this is Police Week.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up. Another piece of legislation having to do with police is House Bill 131, the anti-quota bill. For folks who aren't exactly sure what this is all about, a little background on it.
Yeah, sure, Dave. So I think this is a great bill here. Basically, what it does is it prevents municipalities from using our law enforcement officers as revenue generators, right? Our police officers should be out there keeping our communities safe, and they should have the discretion to be able to issue a citation when they need to issue a citation, and then issue a warning if they need to issue a warning. I don't believe that there should be just some arbitrary number that placed upon the police officer that, by the end of the shift, they have to write, X amount of citations. I don't think that's good for the confidence of the public in our law enforcement. And to be honest with you, like I said, we just shouldn't be using our law enforcement officers to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. For the municipalities.
I know a lot of people have, even when I was a kid, you'd hear, be careful driving at the end of the month because they got to make a quota. But, as you just said, sometimes that's a fact. And to have this, where are you at with this bill now?
Yeah. So another thing I'll just add real quickly is, I just have to laugh when you talk about the end of the month because I have experienced that as a former state trooper. But ironically enough, the Ohio State Highway Patrol, in their contract, quotas are prohibited, and a lot of people don't know that. Mm-hmm. So kind of my argument with this bill all along has been that, if the Ohio State Highway Patrol, one of the, I would argue, the most proactive law enforcement agency in the state, can operate without a quota system, I believe other municipalities can do the same. So that's kind of been my pushback against those that say, hey, we can't, we need to give our officers certain numbers, this, that, and the other. That's kind of my pushback mm-hmm. against that.
Yeah, I would think that a lot of people are going to be happy if that gets passed. Real quick before we get into some that I really think, and they all affect everybody, don't get me wrong, here in Licking County and across your region. But boy, we've heard a lot lately about vicious dog attacks. We've seen what's happened. I believe it was Pickaway County. A mother and her son were sentenced to jail time because their dog got loose and killed a woman. Yeah. There was just the story not too long ago about the Franklin County Sheriff deputy who was bitten by a dog. I mean, these vicious dogs, something needs to be done. Talk a little bit about what you're bringing forward.
Sure. Thanks for that, Dave. That's House Bill 247. And actually, this bill was brought to me by our local dog warden here, Larry Williamson, in Licking County. I met with it's late last year and then again after the first year here to kind of craft this language. Our dangerous dog laws in Ohio need some serious revisions. They haven't been looked at in quite some time. A lot of the language is confusing, so it just needed cleaned up. But additionally, perhaps more importantly, is our dog wardens don't have the ability to do what they need to do in these cases of serious injury and or death. And one of the most significant things in this piece of legislation is it allows those dog wardens to immediately seize that animal. So the way the current law is unless they're already designated as a vicious or a dangerous dog, they can't seize them. So in the case of, you know, a dog that's not designated, but let's say it actually kills somebody or seriously injures for that matter, they do not have the ability to immediately seize those dogs. And I think that's wrong. And we're changing that with this bill. The other thing that I always like to point out with this is what we're concentrating on are the bad actors, the folks that possess dogs that are already designated as dangerous and or vicious. And because of the negligence of the owner, somebody is then injured and or killed. Mm-hmm. And what I believe, is that penalties need to be appropriate for those. And those are where we're looking at some increased penalties in those areas.
Is this, again, you said you talked to Larry Williams, the county dog warden here in Licking County. Were you hearing this from other parts of the state as well?
Yeah, actually, you've seen a lot of this recently. There's been a lot of dog bites in the news here. And there's actually three bills, soon to be four bills, pending on this. And we had a meeting yesterday. Actually, I met with some of my colleagues. Actually, this is a bipartisan issue. So folks on both sides of the aisle. And we're collaborating to see what we can do to combine some of the language in the bills and come up with one bill that we're going to move forward as a vehicle to make some meaningful changes in this area.
Obviously, another topic that's been of great importance here, not only in Licking County, but in Tuscarawas County as well, was the fatal bus crash that happened in November 2023. And we're not going to get into all the logistics of all that. Obviously, the trial is taking place. A verdict is due soon. But you want to do something special to memorialize those folks who died in that crash.
Yes. You know, it's obviously a very tragic situation. But when things like this happen, I think we need to be able to remember, you know, what took place. And in order to do that in honor of those that did lose their lives, and the first responders that responded that day, what we're doing is we're creating designating a portion of Interstate 70, and we're calling it the Tusky Valley Memorial Highway. So I'm partnering with Rep. Jody Salvo, and we're looking to get that memorialized. We're going to get a sign out there, and just in remembrance of the folks that lost their lives that day.
Well, you mentioned Chief DeSario earlier, and I remember being out in Kirkersville when they put these signs up. Coming in and out of the village. And it, you know, some folks may not understand the importance that is to the families. I mean, some may say, well, you know, they're going to see that, they're going to remember, but it is important for the families that their loved ones never be forgotten.
It is. It's very important. And one of the things I always tell folks, and I know I do this as we're driving across the state, you know, you'll see those and you know, you'll remember what that was, and then you go home and you take a quick Google search or something to take and look and see exactly what that was. So great way for us to continue to remember and honor the folks that, you know, that may have lost their lives.
a couple other pieces of legislation. Now, obviously, you're from around here. You like to get out in the outdoors. I don't know too many folks who don't love to be on the outdoor in the outdoors. And one is House Bill 201, the landowner hunting regulations kind of legislation. Folks may be like, okay, what are we talking about here? What are some of the particulars?
Sure, Dave. So many folks may or may not know that you can hunt on your own land. All right. And my children can hunt on my land. But let's use the case of someone that gets older in their years and they want to pass their land on to their children. Parents cannot hunt on their children's land free of charge. So basically what we've done is we've changed that to allow parents to hunt on their children's land. So we've just added that provision. The other thing that is in current law is grandchildren can hunt on their grandparents' land. But they still have to buy a permit, a turkey permit, fur bears permit, deer permit. So basically what we've said is we want to extend the free license to basically the permits as well. So if you're under 18, we're saying that you should be able to hunt on your grandparents' land without buying a permit as well. And the reality is the fiscal impact on this is very minor. And what we did actually is in conjunction with the budget, ODNR raised the price of out-of-state licenses. So I thought, what a great way to extend some benefits to our Ohioans here, our citizens, without impacting, them and or the budget, actually. So this bill is actually currently in the budget over mm-hmm. in the Senate. So we're hoping that that provision stays in there. But if not, we're going to move forward with House Bill 201 to just extend those outdoor recreational benefits to Ohioans here. I'm a big sportsman I appreciate the ability to get out there, and we're addressing a situation for a lot of times our older folks that mm-hmm. are on those fixed incomes. So being able to hunt on their kids' land without having to purchase a license, that's a big deal to folks that may be, living, retirement check to mm-hmm. retirement check, if you will.
Oh, guy down the hall, he's got his grandkids that come out to his house all the time and those kind of things. He goes to his son's place. So again, I'm not a hunter, so it's not going to impact me whatsoever. My brother in Northeast Ohio is. He likes to do that, so I get it. I mean, folks, they want to hunt. They want to hunt with family.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, for a lot of people, Representative Miller, that's great bonding time to go out with grandkids or their kids. They love to do it.
It is, and that's what we're doing here. It's almost extending that financial incentive to do that. We want people to be spending time together as a family, and mm-hmm. that's extremely important. So we think that's what this bill accomplishes.
Another piece of legislation, House Bill 199, the UTV side-by-side bill. Obviously, you see a lot of these. We talk about hunting. You see them out and about. Maybe talk a little bit about this.
Sure. So what this bill is going to do is, right now, the law is pretty vague. So, even our prosecutors, our different police departments are not on the same page as far as the rules and the laws for UTVs operation side-by-sides on our roads. The other problem is certain counties and registrars are actually titling and plating these vehicles, while others are not. Mm. So it's very inconsistent across the state. This was actually brought to me by a couple different sheriffs. And essentially, their argument is these vehicles are on the roads, and they also don't have any plates on them. So there's no identification on them in a lot of times. So they can't identify who's out there and what they're doing. And sometimes they're involved in nefarious activity. So what this bill does is it allows for the registration of these vehicles in the operation on township and county roads if and only if the Board of Commissioners passes a resolution. So the reason behind that is we want to leave local control with this, mm-hmm. right? Some counties may decide we don't want these on our roadways, but others, much like the areas that I represent, as long as they're inspected, they're plated, the drivers have insurance, we feel that they should be allowed to ride on the roadway. So it helps with consistency.
It sounds to me like with a lot of these legislation that you've brought, a lot of this legislation you've brought forward, it's just from talking to local authorities, local residents who said, hey, Did you know about this? I mean, is that how a lot of this gets done?
Yeah. So one of the things that I would say and have always said in this position is this isn't the Kevin Miller show. So I represent House District 69. So it's all about the different ideas. I represent my constituents. And many of these bills come from others. You know, we talked a little bit about the hunting and fishing. That actually came to me from a constituent in Perry County. Mm-hmm. So a lot of these bills actually come from my constituents, which is why I always say, reach out to me if there's anything that I can do for you.
What's the easiest way for folks to do that?
The easiest way for folks to get a hold of me is just to shoot me a quick email at rep69@ohiohouse.gov. So rep69@ohiohouse.gov.
You've been listening to Inside View on Cool 101.7. I'm News Director Dave Doney. I'd like to thank our guest today, State Representative Kevin Miller. And as always, I'd like to thank you for listening. Have a great day.